every man and woman must form their own ethos on what they stand for in their or her life. They have to stand for something or you stand for nothing. So when you're in that situation, it's hard for you to lie because you can't lie because you know now you got to hold yourself to a higher standard than anybody else will.
All right, welcome back or welcome to the Finding Mastery podcast. I'm Michael Gervais. And the idea behind these conversations is to learn from people who are on the path of mastery, to better understand what they crave, what they're hungry for, their unique philosophical framework of how they understand how the world works, how they understand how they work, how people work, how their craft works. And we also want to understand the unique mental skills that they've used to build and refine their craft. It's not that we want to do what they do. It's that we want to understand what they're searching for and the mechanical ways that they've gone about creating the path to lead them closer to it and the artistic ways that they've figured out the nuances, especially on the path that's been less traveled. Finding Mastery is brought to you by listening. This is exactly what their app does. It helps you listen to books and content that you might not be able to sit down and actually have the time to read. There was a time in early in my career where I remember sitting in the back hallways of my university and being in the library for hours, reading all of the sports psychology literature and research that I could get my hands on. I loved it. I cherished it. The field of sports psychology is just absolutely on a bender right now. It is growing so fast. It is nearly impossible to keep up with all of the research that's coming out. So that's why I love what listening is doing. It's a game changer for me. So the listening app, it lets me listen to anything that's in writing while I'm on the go. Everything from academic papers to books, PDFs, web pages, articles, anything that I put in their app, it reads it to me. It narrates to me. And plus their AI is great. The way that the interface sounds, like, of course, it's not a human that's reading, but it kind of, the AI is so good of what they're doing, it just works. And then there's also this note-taking function. They know that people like us like to take notes. And so it's as simple as when I hear a key idea, I instantly press a button and that section is saved. They've done a really nice job with this product and they've got a great offer for us. Usually they only give a two-week trial, but because you are listening to Finding Mastery, you get a whole month for free. Check that out, a whole month for free. So I want to encourage you to go check it out. listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get started. Again, it's listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get 1 month completely free. Finding Mastery is brought to you by Hims. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing simple, convenient, and affordable access to science-informed treatments for erectile dysfunction, known as ED. They also are servicing hair loss, weight loss, and more. Health struggles like ED, they're common, but they can be hard to talk about when it comes to finding a solution. That's why Hims has been a game changer for so many men. The entire process is 100% online. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free in a discreet package. No waiting rooms, no pharmacy visits, and no insurance is needed. Plus, you can manage your plan directly on the Hims app. You can track progress and learn more about your conditions and how to treat them from leading medical experts. If you or a loved one has been struggling with ED, I really want to encourage you to go check out Hims. I know ED often has a psychological component to it as well, so be sure that you're stacking some psychological best practices into your daily routine. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/findingmastery. That's hims.com/findingmastery for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/findingmastery. Disclaimer, hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. In this conversation, it's with David Goggins. If you don't know who he is, you will at the end of this conversation. He is very clear. It's real. This podcast is not for kids. It's for adults who want to understand toughness and authenticity. David is clear, very clear, and he lives in true alignment. It's a rare thing. He's figured out exactly who he is, and then he lives according to it, period. Just flat out clear. With that very brief introduction, let's jump right into this conversation with David Goggins.
David Goggins, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. So this is going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you. You've influenced the Seattle Seahawks in a really cool way. And, so I want to celebrate kind of what some of that has been. And then I want to learn. So I'm looking forward to jumping right in with you.
Great. Look forward to it.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so let's start. Let's start with the Seahawks. Like, how did you get connected? Because I don't think I know that part of the story.
Well, it's kind of crazy how that happened. You know, Pete Carroll is the kind of guy that is looking how to – he's trying to find how to inspire his guys. And he actually – he found me, man. I was in San Diego, and when Pete was with USC, he actually went down to visit the Navy SEALs and walk around. And I was out there, and some guys were saying, hey, this is David Goggins. This is what he's done. And, you know – that was a couple years before he went over to Seattle. And next thing I know, a couple years later, when he's with Seattle, he's giving me a call. I'm like, who the hell is this? And it's Pete Carroll's like, hey, dude, I've done research on you. I met you that time, in San Diego, and I think your story is amazing. I want you to come talk to our guys. And I was like, well, shit. Okay, let's do it.
That's so good because, as you know, Pete is always looking for a competitive advantage and, ways to amplify and celebrate, like what it takes to go the distance. And
right.
you understand it now. And so guys respond to you in a really cool way. So before we get into like what you've done from a SEALs perspective, from a special operators perspective, from, how you've led from that point of view, I want to start first with what was it like when you were growing up? Only child, did you have, like, what was that environment like, both family and environmental?
Well, that was actually that's what started David Goggins. Well, that's what started Goggins. David Goggins was the kid that was bullied, that had an abusive father, that didn't go to school at all because his dad believed in his family just working the skating rink in the bar. David Goggins is a guy that, his soon-to-be stepfather got murdered. David Goggins is the guy that got called nigger all growing up when he moved from Buffalo, New York. And David Goggins had a hard way growing up, and he had to change it to Goggins. Mm. So
when you talk about it now, what, like right in this moment, what is the emotion or the energy or what is the thing that's happening inside you when you talk about just a really tough young age?
Well, I start becoming real passionate and people get confused when I talk. That's why I like talking to the Seahawks. Some people get confused when I talk. That's why I have two speeches when I talk to people. One speech is very, toned down. But how I feel when I talk about it is very passionate because I'm reliving what the hell I had to go through to become successful. Because you gain mental toughness or you gain like self-esteem from the age of 6 to the age of 12. In that time in my life, I was getting beat up mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I literally had nothing. And I'm imagining what I'm talking about. I'm imagining the hardcore fucking journey that I had to go through to become a successful human being. So right now, me talking to you, my armpits are sweating and my house is like 68 degrees because I'm actually reliving what it took for me to become successful and how I had to stop feeling sorry for myself and get in the fight and stay in the fight and how hard it was to maintain fighting.
Okay. So when you were young, you got the short end of the stick probably at that age is what it felt like, but now you're using it. And it sounds like, I don't want to use the word traumatic, but it's heavy to go back to even talk about it, which is what you do for a living. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I do for a living. And it's actually not heavy going back to it. I actually love, now that I look back on it, I had to change my whole thought process to become successful. So looking back on it, that's what gives me the passion and joy that I have for my life now.
Okay. So you're not like you don't try to, in some kind of way, avoid and not feel what you felt. You embrace all of it in such a way that when you get to the truth of the way that you were raised and the heavy stuff that you did go through, you feel it now, but it doesn't stop you. It fuels you.
Yes, exactly.
That's so okay.
Yes.
How do you do that? Because so many people, when they think about the past heaviness and the real trauma and the real scary stuff that they've been through, that they avoid it, that they put it, they lock it up, they put it in a cave, and they never go into that cave again. And then they tap dance around the entrance of the cave thinking like everything's okay. And it's not. They don't have the ability to go into the cave to face that stuff in there so that they can be free. So how did you do it?
Well, basically, I had to flip it all over. I had to flip it upside down because I saw I was going nowhere. I was blaming everybody for, you know, how I came up. And by me being afraid to attack it, I became a victim of people deciding, like, I believe that we're all artists. I believe God or whatever you believe in, he makes you an artist. And what your fucking job is to do in this world is to paint your own damn masterpiece. And the key word there is your own masterpiece. So other people in my life, the people who were calling me nigger, the people who, my dad who was, everybody who was against me, I thought in my head, they were trying to paint my masterpiece. And my masterpiece in their eyes was exactly what they were saying. I was this person. I was that person. I was dumb. I was fat. I was a nigger. I became that masterpiece to them. So I realized instead of me feeling sorry for myself, I had to say to myself, the only person that's going to control your destiny is you. And what you have to do is change the way you think. And how you need to start thinking, instead of being a victim, you need to say, well, thank you, God, for giving me this piece of shit life. Because now what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn it upside down and I'm going to destroy it. So I had to welcome the challenge to be great. And the challenge to be great was hard for me, but that's what I needed that. So instead of looking at my life as, oh, my God, I'm this, I'm that. I graduated 213 out of 214. I graduated in class, and there's only three black kids in this whole school. The KKK marched in our 4th of July parade in 1995. And, what was me? I took that and said, now, if I can become the hardest man God ever created, coming from this shit, that would mean something. I will become relevant in my own mind. And that's what I did. I just changed the way I thought.
Okay, take me back. Was there a moment or was there an event that took place? If you could, and I don't want you to make anything up, but was there a moment where you remember, like, I'm done with this, and you made a fundamental decision?
It was funny, man. There's several moments because as a human being, you always go back to wanting to feel sorry for yourself. So I will give you one moment that was a life-changing moment for me. So I grew up in this small town, and like I said, there was 10,000 people in it. And I came from Buffalo, New York, but then my mom left my dad. Long story short, I ended up in a small town called Braziliana. And I got my brand new car. I paid for it. It cost $1,500, cutting grass, stuff like that. And I drove it to school, and they spray painted "nigger, we're going to kill you" on the side of it. And and in my textbooks, they had that in my textbooks, and they had it. They had a noose in my locker. They did damage to me. And one day, I went to my Spanish class, and I got my notebook, and on the front of it, it said, "We're going to kill you, nigger." And I left class and went down to my principal, and I said, "Principal Freeman, what are we gonna do about this?" And
okay, hold on, real quick. So, what was your response to that? What was your emotional response to that first?
Well, internally, you know, you feel horrible.
What does that? What does that mean? What is horrible for you, or what
horrible
was horrible
for me? Is it's lonely.
Okay,
it's lonely. You feel very lonely because you know that, you know, my mom was working several jobs and, you know, me and my dad had no relationship. I didn't have anybody to go to say, hey, help me in this situation. My mom was, she did the best she could. She was a single mom and she worked her ass off. And, but my life was, I had to raise myself, you know, coming up a lot. And so when I went down to the principal's office and said, this is what happened to me and this was going on, he looked at the book, the notebook. He said, well, they spelled nigger, Niger. And he said, and that's all he could say. You know, so it was a reality check for me that there's not a single motherfucker on this planet that is going to help David Goggins besides David Goggins.
So, okay, so he didn't get you and he wasn't giving you a gift. I just misread, I think, what you said, because he didn't give you a gift like, listen, they're stupid. He was almost like, he missed you. He didn't understand what it was like to be you. And that's when you had this moment, right? That said, okay, I see how this is.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, once I saw that, once I heard, I mean, this has been going on for several years, and it just got to that point where, you know, you feel so small, you feel so belittled, you don't want to go to school because, you know, you're tired of being called names, and then you start to, you know, act like, you know, you start sagging, you know, you're trying to find your way. So you're trying to blend in with people, you're trying to act like they act and act like this people act, you know, you're trying to act all different. And I just realized, hey man, I got to see who the hell David Goggins is. And that's when I went on the David Goggins journey, and it was a tough one.
And then, okay, so that was kind of the moment, if you will, right, where you said, okay, I've got to figure out me, because everyone else is being cruel and not getting it. So it's up to me.
Right.
Okay. And then if you went into that moment, was it like, and I know you said there was many moments, but if we can use this one as a way to kind of capture, because you could have had 1, 2, 3, 4 different options. You could have just gone to rage. You could have swung on the principal. You could have just sat there and cried in whatever kind of way. You could have been numb. So you could have gone a lot of different ways, right?
Right.
So can you go back to like what that was like when at the moment when you made the decision or the choice to say, okay, I got to take care of me?
Actually, it was a moment of relief. It was a moment of relief because when I finally realized that I have to figure out who I am, I could stop pretending and lying to myself and lying to everybody about who I thought I was and who I wanted to be and who I wanted to fit in with. And I wanted to be, you know, I went to Annapolis, Indiana for a short time before my soon-to-be stepdad got murdered. And so I wanted to be a cool black kid that sagged his pants and learned all the daggone lingo. And then when I moved with all these white kids, I wanted to, you know, act like they acted, and I was just lost because no one accepted who I was, and I didn't accept who I was, and that's when I realized, you know, it was freeing for me to say, you know what, fuck everybody, nobody likes me anyway, I'm just going to be the hardest guy God ever created, and I'm going to set this journey out to be me, and wherever that ends up, that's where it ends up.
Okay, and then why hard? Why was that the virtue that you care so much about?
I care so much about it because growing up, I honestly believed I was the softest human being that God ever created because I was beat down mentally. I had zero self-esteem. I faked everything. Mm-hmm. People probably thought, oh my God, this guy, he's kind of cool. He thinks he's kind of – no. Everything was an act, and you can lie to yourself all day long. You can lie to people. You can't lie to yourself. But because every morning at 16 years old, I started shaving my head. And I look in that dirty mirror, and all I saw was a liar. And I saw a weak human being, and all I wanted to do was change the reflection in that fucking mirror.
Okay. So, and you couldn't. You didn't know how. You didn't know
I didn't have the courage.
Okay. So, okay.
I didn't have the courage.
So how can you pass on that gift right now to other people by me just asking the question, like, how did you, or I could ask another way, how do you have the courage to change?
Honestly, it's a good question you're asking, and it's a lot of answers to it. But the biggest answer is you have to find out what you truly want in life. You have to realize that you have to believe in something, whether it's God, yourself. You have to believe in something that you want to be better, that you have control of your life. And if you work your ass off, it's kind of like if you're chipping at a stone. And that stone is going to give away. You know, after a while, it's going to start breaking away. And basically, I looked at that as my life. Like, I'm going to continue. I will fail. I don't care about failing. I don't care about anything. I will succeed.
Okay. So you had a vision, right? You had an idea
right.
of who you want to be, which is the hardest human on the planet. Okay.
Right.
So I want to understand what hard means to you. But before we go there, because you have so much passion, right?
Right.
So much the way that I think about, you know, your energy and people that respond, I respond the same way to, is that their spirit is animated, right?
Right.
Their spirit is not, it's just an animated spirit, which, you know, call it the Holy Spirit, whatever you want. This animation of the spirit is phenomenal, and you can't help to feel your energy.
Right.
Did you set out that was also going to be part of it, or did that, was that an extension that came after you figured out how to be hard?
No, I actually, I'm a very spiritual guy. I believe in God. I don't go to church or anything like that. But what I do is I believe that there's something much higher than David Goggins. And I started searching for every bit of strength I could. And it wasn't like, so I don't sit at home and say, hey, God, you know, bless me at this, bless me at that. All my prayer is give me the strength to overcome what I have to overcome. And basically what it's about is having a belief system that you believe that you can do anything you can, but it's going to take you failing. I mean, I never blamed God or anybody for my misfortunes. I never did. I may have felt sorry for myself, but I didn't say, oh man, why me? Why this? Why that? I always knew in my mind that I was put here on this earth for a journey. And this is obviously part of my journey, but I have to beat this fucker. I have to beat this fucker. The only way I'm going to beat it with it is with the will to, with the drive and passion and the desire to go through anything in front of me. And if I get knocked down a million times, I continue to get up and just to have to, yeah, feel sorry for yourself for a second, but God, I'm going to win. I will win this journey. It's not about winning a race or becoming a SEAL or becoming a Ranger. It's the fucking journey that everybody has that a lot of people are scared to even start because, for me, I was scared to be a SEAL. People don't know that. I didn't want to jump out of fucking airplane and shit, but I didn't want to live the fact knowing I was scared to be great. And it takes overcoming all that. There's so much that goes involved with being great and to being a master of your own self that it takes a long, but it takes courage. It takes courage to not care what people think about you and what you say when you do fail.
Yep, that's exact. So I think that, you know, that one, courage can be developed, okay, and for sure. And the way that you develop courage is putting yourself in challenging situations and choosing to act nobly, right? So doing the thing that is difficult to do for a greater cause. That's how you build courage.
Exactly.
And but what's at risk are two things. Failure. And the second part of the failure is when somebody's identity is wrapped up with what they do, failure becomes life-threatening, the perception right. of life-threatening, which is, as you know, because you faced it down so many times, is a trap. Like that's a right. massive, massive trap. Okay, so you want to be the best in the world, the hardest, or you want to be like you want to be rock solid within yourself? Like, are you trying to be the best or your best?
I'm trying to be my best. So when I say I want to be the hardest person in the world, that's what got me off the couch.
Okay.
That was – so am I that? I don't care. I really don't care. That's what – so the best conversation you're going to have in your entire fucking life is the one you have with yourself. So when I'm talking to myself and I'm down, I'm telling myself everything – I need to hear everything I don't need to hear. I'm telling myself the daggone truth. So how I became who I am today is because I looked at myself in the mirror and said, hey, you're acting this way. You're not real smart. You're this, you're that. I gave myself who I was, and who I was not a pretty picture, but I had to admit who I wasn't.
Mm. Did you write it down, or how did you like make it something other than a story? And nothing wrong with the story, but like, what did you do with that? How did you have that conversation?
Well, it was every morning. Like I said, when I wake up to shave my head, I would reflect on the day before. Like, what did I do? To stop lying, you had to tell yourself that you are lying. You know, to stop cheating on every daggone test you took. I look at myself in the mirror and say, okay, today I got to change this because yesterday you did this. I call it the accountability mirror. I started holding myself accountable for every daggone thing I was either afraid of or I lied about or I cheated on or whatever. I started holding myself accountable because I had to develop a core value of myself. It's not about anything else. It was about my own core value. I had to believe in something. I had to believe in myself. And you can't believe in yourself if you're a piece of shit. So, you know, if
that's right.
If I'm a,
there's nothing there. Mm-hmm.
No, if there's nothing substantial inside your heart and your soul, if there's nothing there, you mean nothing.
Okay,
you
so
mean nothing.
Was that, if you're looking back now, was that you were a piece of shit or that you were speaking to yourself based on the way that others told you should speak to yourself as if you were a piece of shit? Like, was your center rotten Or were you just focusing on the things that were flawed based on the way society thought you should think?
I think it's kind of both of them can go for me. Okay. I started believing what they were saying, but I gave myself an excuse to be that, you know, because my dad was this was that, people don't like me, I'm not real smart, I didn't go to school, all this, I have ADD, I stutter so bad, I can't even talk to people. I had so many freaking issues. And, you know, people said it, I said it, but a lot of it was the truth. It was just the truth. But what happened was, growing up, I developed this because my life was bad. So I'm not putting it on people. Mm-hmm. I had to change the fact that I didn't grow up great. I had to stop blaming my family and stop blaming the kids and stop blaming other people for my fucked up life. Because they're not going to change it. They helped make it fucked up. Now I got to fix it. And that's kind of, so it was a double-edged sword.
Okay, I want to talk to you about a new sponsor right here, Hydro. I love what they're doing. They are awesome. I don't know if you're into rowing like I am. I really enjoy it. What I try to do is I try to move around different cardio exercises. Sometimes on a bike, sometimes I'm rowing, sometimes I'm outside. But when I want to row, they've got it dialed in. They've done something fundamentally different than all the other rowers. One, it's not this loud machine that is making a ton of noise and, you know, with chains slapping all over the place. They've done this in a really slick, premium, elevated way. And then the other thing they've done is that there's a nice screen that you can have a guide or a coach with you. And their coaches are Olympians and world-class athletes. And what they've done is they're filming, full stop, they are filming all over the world on places where their experts are rowing, and then you get to go with them. And they're coaching you the whole way. I love it. My favorite coach by far is Mac. She's great. And I just want to encourage you to give them a shot. If you love rowing, I think you're going to love this machine. And if you're not into rowing, I don't know if you know this, but rowing, there's been some research around rowing that rowing engages over 80% of your muscles while you're doing it. So it's a really efficient exercise. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to Hydro.com and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's Hydro.com, Hydrow.com, and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400. Hydro.com, use the code MASTERY. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AG1. It's really important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for almost a decade now, I've been drinking AG1. When I first was connected with them, I thought, oh, this is great. This is great. And then I double-clicked to understand their process and how they went about it. And I just love the rigor that goes into what they're creating and the product that they have. And they've gone through so many iterations to get it just right, 52 of them to be exact. Sometimes quality can be a buzzword, but they are committed. They are fundamentally committed to have a great product for us. They're interested in absorption. They're interested in high quality manufacturing. They rigorously test their product. So I trust what's in AG1. And one of the reasons I have extra confidence in that statement is they are NSF certified for sport. That's one of the most rigorous independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. They've made it so easy as well. What I do every morning is I take a scoop, put it into a cup of water, shake it up, and it's the first thing that I put in my stomach. I love it. It just gives me the sense like, okay, I've invested in my health and I haven't even started my day yet. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, I want to encourage you to go check out AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/findingmastery. Again, that's drinkag1.com/findingmastery. I hope you go check them out.
So I fully hear you on that. There's this thing that I think I'm really clear about as well, is that there's a couple steps in this process that you're talking about for transformation. And it first begins with a decision. And until you make that fundamental decision, and each person has to make their own decision about who they are and where they're going. But until you make that decision, we're constantly looking for shortcuts and hacks. And until you make the fundamental decision is where we're along for the ride, as opposed to co-dictating our experience in this life. And so your decision was that you're going to be the hardest man alive, right?
And that was my decision. And, yeah. and yes, and, but okay. basically I chose a very hard path to create that.
Yeah, you have. Okay, let's get to that. But first, let's talk about what is the definition or characteristics or what is the essence of being hard, if you can help me understand that.
There's a, you know, once again, there's a lot for that, but for me, it's to face yourself, to face fear. So everything I did in my life up to date, I was not designed to do. So I'm not an adrenaline junkie. I hate jumping on planes. I hate shooting guns. I hate everything that Navy SEALs. I went to Ranger School, Air Force Special Ops, all this running 100 miles, 200 miles, everything in my resume, I did not want to do. So everybody asked me, how do you develop mental toughness? How you develop mental toughness is becoming hard. And how you become hard is doing shit that you don't want to do. So most people live in this nice, comfortable place that makes them feel really good. The temperature in the house is 72 degrees. They got a refrigerator full of food. Their car, everything is great. Everything is great. And they always ask, how do I become hard? You sure as fuck don't become hard by living that way. And you have to take yourself out of your comfort zone and bury yourself in something that makes you feel so horrible that you have to see how your mind's thinking in that horrible situation and overcome it while you're in shit. Mm-hmm. That's what makes a human being hard.
Yeah, that's 1,000%. Now I've got to push on this a little, 1,000%. I'm not questioning anything you just said, because that's the moment of test. And hopefully you get 1,000 tests a day, right? If you're on this clip to want to be a great human being, we need lots of tests. And but our humanness, our brain, our body is designed to find the path of least resistance. It's to find the efficient, you know, path rather than the hard path. And so people that can do difficult things, that's a real significant skill to be able to say, I can do difficult things. And it fundamentally changes your physiology when you take the next step into any environment that you want to go into. And so, but I want to push on one thing for you, which is the word resilient. So hard for you is about doing difficult stuff and like being able to understand how your mind works when you're in the middle of the shit. Resiliency, I want to learn from you how you think about it, which is bending, which is flowing, which is adjusting, which is sticking with it, but not necessarily driving your head through the brick wall, but figuring out how to go around it sometimes. So how do you think about resiliency, that concept?
Well, I always say something, and one thing I say is that every wall, most walls have doors. And sometimes you got to find a door. So, yeah, you know, being resilient is another word that I am.
Okay.
You have to be very resilient in life.
Yeah. Okay. And the only way to build resiliency as well is doing difficult things.
Exactly.
Yeah. And sticking with it. If you can't do a difficult thing and pull the eject button and think that you're going to be hard and or resilient.
Well, there's something that people love saying this right here. Well, maybe it just wasn't meant to be. And if I had that mindset, I would still be 300 pounds spraying for cockroaches at Ecolab.
Wow, you were that heavy?
I was 300 pounds twice in my life.
And because that you fundamentally changed your entire composition. Like
I changed my whole life. I changed everything about me.
Yeah, okay. So like just for an image, for people that haven't seen your image, can you give it a height, weight? What does that look like now? Not that that matters. Like it doesn't matter. Like 300, 500, right. It doesn't matter, but you fundamentally changed the way you thought and that behaved, and it also changed your physiology. So height, weight, what does that look like for you?
Well, I was 6'1", 300 and like 300 pounds, and now I'm 6'1", 180.
Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, what, 6% body fat? Something ridiculous?
Yeah, if that, mm-hmm. if that.
Okay, so are you happy?
And a lot of people ask me that question. If you were to hear my whole story, how can one not be happy? Yeah, okay. I'm extremely happy.
Okay. And do you have peace? Can you be hard and have peace?
I just found peace here recently because I was I always was go, 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 go. And the only way you can find peace in your life, because I was always like, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. You have to find time to reflect on all this shit you've done in your life. And I never took time to reflect on all I had accomplished. And just since I retired from the military, you have a lot of time to sit back and say, wow, man, I made something out of nothing. And you get a chance to reflect, and the peace that comes over you is truly amazing.
Okay. And is that a daily process for you to find that those moments of reflection to settle into now? Or is that like kind of haphazardly when I have the time to reflect, I do, and I do feel a sense of peace and content?
Oh, no, it's there 24/7 now. That's what I was looking for my whole life. I finally have it.
Yeah, because that's what I was trying to sort out, because you were go, go, go to become someone. And then the truth is, though, that you just wanted to be you 24/7.
I wanted to be happy with David Goggins. And to be happy with David Goggins, you have to do something to be happy about, to be proud of. I had to do all that stuff that I've done so I can sit back at 41 years old and say, now I'm proud of myself. Some people don't need to do all that. Some people don't need to do a fraction of that. Some people don't need to, need to do nothing. I believe that you're not doing enough. If you're just happy and content with, you know, having a life where you go do your job and do this and do that, and you have nothing to look back on and say, wow, I overcame a lot of things, I think you're really cutting yourself short.
Mm. Okay. So what has been your greatest adventure so far of all the things you've done? And maybe you could give us kind of a list of some of these. You ran over it, but they're phenomenal. 200 miles, whatever. Well, like, what has been your greatest adventure?
Well, if you want a small list, I'm one of the only people in the history of the military who's gone through Air Force Special Ops, Army Ranger School, Honor Man at Honor Ranger School. I've been in 3 hell weeks. I completed 2 of them in 1 year. I went from that, I've done every military school on demand, from free fall school, everything else. I've run 205 miles at one time. I did 8 consecutive 100-mile races in 8 consecutive weekends. I ran over 7,000 miles in 2007. I had the Guinness Book of Records for the most pull-ups in 24 hours with 4,030 in 17 hours. But with all that being said, I've done a lot of things, and it was just the whole journey. So it was a journey that everything I said I did, I truly did not want to do. I did it because I wanted to better myself. I didn't want to sit back and say, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at. I want it to be great. I want it to be great. And that's what I did.
When did that transition happen for when, like, the young punk that's going for it to see if he is okay? If I could just do this XX miler, I'll be okay. I'll be great. And when did you go from that to being able to say, wow, hold on now. Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you need to do an XX miler again to demonstrate that you are a man. And so a man that you are in love with. Or love, I should say. So when did that shift happen? Because I think if we can unlock this, we're going to speak to 99.9% of the world, is that I need to achieve or do to be okay. And maybe 99 is too big, but like it is too big. But there's so many of us that are caught in the rat race of needing to achieve to feel okay. It's like selling now, the stress of now, for one day later, retirement or vacation or happiness.
Well, it's a good question. And for me, it started flipping for me versus I wanted to achieve so much to feel better about myself. But what happened was, once I realized that what God had given me to start with was so piss poor, but I actually started loving the fact that I had nothing to start with. And I started flipping my mind that way. But as I started realizing that you need nothing but the breath in your fucking lungs to become great. And once I realized that, once I started pushing myself to different limits and realized, shit, It just takes you fucking changing your mind and how you think about situations and how you think about, like, you know, let's say you have a deck of cards and you're playing war and you have a bunch of 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s and 1 10. If you put down a 5, I put down a 5 and we go to war, I may take your fucking aces and I'm back in the game. It's all about how you look at life. And when I started realizing that, life became more to me than I want to become this to make myself feel better, it became, I'm on a fucking journey now. I'm about to see what a human being, that human being being David Goggins, what the fuck can I do? What can I achieve? How great can I become? How far can I go? What are the limits of Goggins? Do I have limits? So I took the whole, you know, I want to feel good about myself. And after I realized that, shit, with just breath and a healthy heart and just a mind that's willing to change your circumstance and believe that you're great. I took all that shit and realized, okay, I feel good about myself. Now let's go conquer the fucking world. Mm.
Okay, so how do you do just that? How do you fundamentally change your belief system or install a belief system that you are great? How do you do that? Do you need evidence outside of you, or is it for you? Is it making that fundamental decision?
It's a fundamental decision, but a lot of this stuff is just words. Like, you know, you can say all these creeds and all this crap. You know, hey, to be hard, you got. I mean, you know, everybody can go online and read all these creeds and what dedication means. And I can say, you know, just look up different things, different sayings. Everybody gets all motivated. They weren't words to me. So I can tell you right now, it's a fundamental change, but it's much deeper than that. I mean, you know, like people don't know how to do it because people don't truly want to do it. That's why people say, hey, Goggins, how did you do this? And how did you lose 100 pounds in 60 days? Yeah, well, you know, you're asking me how. You're already wasting your fucking time. Like, when I sat back and said, I want to, it has to be a true want. It can't be like, well, how? You're asking too many fucking questions already. You have to be so fucking driven. Like motivation is crap. Motivation comes and goes. If I motivate you right now, you get to hear this podcast, to go run 100 miles or to run 2 miles and it's 20 degrees out in Chicago, you may open your fucking door and say, it's fucking cold, go back inside. A person that's driven, you will open the door and say, I'm putting gloves on, I can get my run in. So once you change your mind to believe that I need to be driven, but what the fuck drives you? Only you can answer that. And what drove me was I'm going to become better than what the hell I am today. Some people don't know what it is that drives them, but you got to go on that journey first. Mm. What's going to make me be the best?
I love it. You know what makes my hair stand up in a bad way is people go, oh, Mike, so you do motivational speeches. Holy shit. There might not be a deeper insult, like seriously, because it only lasts moments. Motivation only lasts moments. And so like what I'm trying to unlock a little bit for you here, or very much try to unlock, is it is a fundamental decision and you reorganized your life based on what you were most hungry for. And you're very right. Clear that it was to be the hardest human being alive. Okay.
And that's how it started off. You know, the hardest human being, it's all relative.
Right.
I wanted to change from being a weak guy to a guy that can be put in a hellstorm and come out surviving it.
And so that was your attraction to special operators, right?
Like exactly.
That was the place to go build or demonstrate that you can do it.
Right.
Okay. So now, looking back now, how do you get in your own way?
Honestly, I have a thing called the cookie jar. And the cookie jar is a bunch of shit that I had to go through to become, you know, like I said, I was David Goggins, and David Goggins was a meek man, and now I became Goggins. And Goggins is the guy that can endure anything. And so I'm able to go to my cookie jar and find a whole bunch of fucking cookies that remind me of who the fuck I am and where I came from and how hard it was to get there. So when times get bad for me, I reach in the cookie jar and I pull out a cookie. And sometimes the cookie says, hey, you went through 3 hell weeks in 1 year. And sometimes it may say this, it may say that. It reminds me every day of, hey, when times get bad, you endured all this shit. And, you know, it's just that's what keeps me going and knowing that I can get through anything.
So you just hit something fundamental, which is self-talk. You said it earlier, like words are just words or something along those lines. And so this inner conversation that we have, if it's not based in real, something real, and it's not credible and you can't back it up, it's just words.
That's it.
It's just words. So what you've done is your cookie jar, basically you've externalized so that you can remember and be clear of the difficult stuff that you've done. Anytime you're feeling like you're twisted, you can put your hand physically into something and say, oh yeah, oh that's right. I have done some crazy stuff. Okay.
So I developed the truth. I developed the truth, and the truth allows you to do some amazing things, but you have to develop the truth first, because until then it's just a bunch of words, it's a bunch of lies.
When you're on the frontier and your heart feels like it's bleeding, I'm sorry, your lungs feel like they're bleeding, your body hurts, and you've already played the script like, yeah, this is when I'm my best. This is what it's about. I'm right in the thick of it. I said I want to be hard. Now I'm hard. This is what it's about. But it is very hard. And you've played that script maybe for an hour, and you still got another 4 hours to go.
Right.
Okay. So there's like that, there's that temptation to be able to play it small, play it safe, pull the eject button, tap out. When sometimes we do need to tap out. Sometimes, you know, we can break ourselves.
Oh, right? Yeah. Okay. For sure.
So how do you do that? Like, how do you negotiate that physical overwhelmment with another 4 hours? And I'm just making that up, but like, how do you talk yourself through that?
Well, I'm not going to make this up. I will tell you how I do it, exactly how I do it. Mm-hmm. I've gone 205 miles in 39 hours nonstop running. Okay. So I run a 1 mile track. So let's picture this. When you get to mile 100, I want everybody listening. I want you to think about this for one fucking second. I hate running. I was 300 pounds twice in my life. I enjoy eating shit and watching football. That's David Goggins. So here I am at mile 100. I have another 105 miles to go. Okay. So this, not like I'm sitting there thinking I'm the hardest guy in the world. I'm a human being. So what I'm thinking is I need to bag this fucking race. My body's aching. I feel like shit. I want to go home. That is the realness of the situation. I've gone 100 miles. I have 105 more to go. But that's why I signed up for that race, because that's what I want to tell myself. I know what I'm going to tell myself. How I developed hardness was figuring out, how the fuck am I going to get another 105 miles to go? So what I do is I cut that big piece of shit up and I take it in small pieces versus 105 miles. I'm going to the next damn step. Oh,
God. Yeah, there you go.
So you got to break big things up into small pieces, because your mind, like, so what happens in Hell Week? Hell Week is 130 hours of continuous training. And what happens is you dump these guys in the first hour of Hell Week. What makes it so brutal is they put you in the coldest water you can possibly imagine. And what happens to your brain is you lose control of your thought process. And you immediately think, it's only been 1 hour. I have another 129 more hours to go. And this is the coldest I've been in my fucking life. So your brain cannot possibly comprehend what's going on right now. We spaz out. What I'm able to do now, through the fact that I've been through so much shit, is I know what my brain is going to – so I already know what I'm going to think about. I thought about quitting too. But I realized – you got to realize what's the end result if I do quit. You got to think about all these things and think about how glorious would it feel once I graduate.
Okay, but people create stories. And they create a story of why they didn't finish, or why they didn't move. And they create a story like, man, my left hip blew up, or, you know, I got pneumonia and you can't finish maybe that's a good story, but they create a story. So I don't know anyone. I have never met anyone that says, I am a very, very bad human being. I'm awful and you shouldn't be around me. You know, like, I've met depressed, obviously, but like, people create stories so they'll feel okay. And so this trap, this inner dialogue that we have, becomes this massive trap that we let ourselves off the hook from the story.
Right.
And so so you just said, I need to entertain what it's going to look and feel like later when I know that I wasn't staying in the difficult thing.
Well, like I said at the very beginning of our the podcast, what you have to do first as a human being. So before I started my journey on trying to become hard, and trying to find all this bullshit about David Goggins, I first had to master one thing. The fact that I had to become real with who the fuck I am. I had to stop lying to myself and hold myself accountable. So yes, I also was the biggest person of saying, oh, you know what? My hip's kind of hurting. I can make up this story and just kind of get out of this. No, because now I worked on myself first before I started my journey. So now if I'm in that situation, I know I'm lying to myself and I'm lying to everybody else. So if I have fixed that problem, I have now fixed the story that I'm trying to tell people of why I did quit, when it's just a story that I made up, because I've already fixed the problem that I'm no longer telling stories. I'm holding myself accountable for my actions every day of my life. That takes away that equation. Mm. But that equation is the hardest one to do before you start your journey, is that you have to have a code, an ethos of yourself. Every man and woman must form their own ethos on what they stand for in their or her life. They have to stand for something or you stand for nothing. So when you're in that situation, it's hard for you to lie because you can't lie because you know now I hold myself to a higher standard than even the Navy SEALs are holding me to. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got to hold yourself to a higher standard than anybody else will.
Mm-hmm. And so is that for you? Is that different? So I'll ask people, I'm really clear about the statement for me, but, and I'll ask people this all the time. I ask two things and sometimes they get a little confusing for me. I'll say, what are you willing to die for? What will you fight for to the end? And that's what you and I were just talking about, right? And then, but what I would love for you to bounce off of is how is that different than a philosophy? And the way I think about having a philosophy is that a philosophy is the decision-making framework. It's the filter that you run all things through to see if you're being true to yourself. So how do those two things, in your mind, are they separate or are they really the same thing?
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I think they're really the same thing.
Okay. All right. That's I kind of thought that that's where you're going to go with it. Okay.
Finding Mastery is brought to you by Apollo Neuro. By now, you're probably well aware that I am a huge fan of what they're doing. I love what they're building and how they're using science-backed technology to help people flourish. This is just a great technology that isn't measuring something. It's actually providing a state change for you to help you either downregulate, find a deeper sense of calm, maybe fall asleep a little bit easier. And if you want to be a bit more up and animated, they've got a way to help you do that as well. It's awesome. It works by sending silent, soothing vibrations. They call them Apollo vibes, of course. That's fun. And it's like music that you can just feel. Just like music, higher vibrations help improve your energy and focus, while lower vibrations, slower vibrations, help to reduce stress, help you relax. I use it twice a day. I use it after I do something really intense. So after it's a lift, after some fitness, after some sport, or after something I'm doing in the office. And I use it right before I go to bed. The science that they've found is fascinating. Across various real-world and clinical trials, Apollo wearable users experience up to 40% less stress and feelings of anxiety. That's an average, of course. 19% more time in deep sleep. 11% increase in HRV, heart rate variability. And up to 25% more focus and concentration. Those are radical. And because you're a part of the Finding Mastery community, you're going to get an exclusive, and I mean that word here, 15% off an Apollo wearable. So just head to apolloneuro.com/findingmastery and use the code findingmastery at checkout. This is an exclusive offer only available to Finding Mastery. I love that we get to do this together. So be sure to use our code. Again, APOLLONEURO. apolloneuro.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout for 15% off your purchase. You're only getting that here. I really hope you'll check them out. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AquaTrue. We all know how important hydration is to performance and recovery and well-being, but it's not just about how much you drink. The quality of your water plays a big role. And if you're like me and you don't fully trust tap water, and I think for good reason, research by the Environmental Working Group has shown that 3 out of 4 homes in the U.S. have harmful contaminants in tap water. That's why I'm really excited to introduce AquaTrue. Their purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. It's incredible. I can literally taste the difference in my water. Plus, the filters are affordable and long-lasting. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That adds up to less than 3 cents per bottle. It feels great to know that all at once, I'm saving money, getting the highest quality water for the Finding Mastery team, and helping make a positive impact on the environment by eliminating single-use plastics all the way around. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it even makes a great gift. And right now, because you're a Finding Mastery listener, you receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. So just go to aquatru.com. You spell it AQUATRU.com and enter the code Finding Mastery at checkout. Again, that's aquatru.com. Enter the Finding Mastery code at checkout to receive 20% off any purifier that you buy there.
That's really helpful. Now, if you could think of a scale 1 to 10, and I think I know the direction, but I want to see the difference between these two scales. Internally driven, which is like, I'm doing this because of the way it feels and for authenticity within myself, versus externally driven, which is I'm doing it for approval from others, a big house, a big car, big watch, whatever. Okay. So, all right. So if you go 1 to 10 on both of those scales, I just want to see like what your difference is.
Well, I'll start with the external first, cause that makes me laugh. I don't even own a car, and I retired and I'm at home with my mother right now at 41 years old, figuring out, you know, cause I'm about to move somewhere. So I don't own a car and I'm chilling. I don't give a shit about anything external, just to make that clear. 1 to 10, I don't give a shit. How about that one? So I don't care. So where I came from growing up, I cared about what everybody thought about David Goggins. Oh my God, please accept me. Please love me, because that's going to make me feel better because I wasn't loved as a child. When you go on a journey of life and you figure out who the fuck you are, you don't give a damn who the hell the Joneses, the Adams, the Browns, the Smiths, you can all go somewhere and have a good time. You know who you are, so you don't care about the external shit. I care 100%. So on a scale of 1 to 10, it's 100. About, I want to see my internal and always my internal. That means everything to me, because that's the thing that matters. If you matter to yourself, you don't care about anything else. You don't need a house. You need a car. You don't need anything. You have the biggest skill, the biggest thing in the world to master is the internal part of a person's life. And it's your life. It's not about – it's your life. Master it. Become internal. That's it. It's everything.
We could stop right now. You know, seriously, like that is exactly the thought that drives everything. And then I'll add one kind of extension to that that's a very close cousin for me, which is the purpose to do that is so that you can be there for others and to be able to love deeply to help them through difficult times. And so I add that extension. I'm curious, like, does that matter to you at all? Or is that important to you, like the bond and brotherhood or loving relationships you have with others? Or is that,
you know what?
Is that not a driver?
I've grown to I've always loved very few people, because there's very few people in my life that deserve that kind of – so I'm a very passionate man, and so I'm not giving everybody that shit. A lot of people don't deserve what I have created, and basically you have to earn that from me, and there's very few people who've earned that from me, and we all have to earn our way in life. But I'm very big – I mean – my whole life is about taking care of those people, and there's very few of them. There's very, very few of them, but I'm all about my family, which is very small now. Pretty much is my mom and whoever else is in that is in that wheelhouse. You know, it could be my girlfriend, you know, but it's just very few people that are in that small circle of mine, and you know, that belong there.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother that is we are pretty close now. He's had a hard life also. We came apart and we separated for a while as far as talking to each other. And his daughter got murdered last year, and that brought us together, because once again you're always growing. So you know, we're both stubborn people, and at that time in my life I realized that, hey buddy, you need to fucking go talk to your brother and help your brother out. And we became close because you're always growing. You're always growing. You're always trying to figure out, you know, how to become better. Even where I'm at now in my life, I've overcome a lot. I've done a lot. And I'm continually to change my thought process and trying to become better as a human being.
So now with all the work you've done on yourself and all the challenges you've had, what does scare you the most? Like, what are the things that you're most afraid of?
You know what's funny? I found so much peace in my life. I used to be so scared back in the day of so many things. once you find a lot of peace in your life, that fear goes away. Mm-hmm. And I'm not scared of too much anymore, because I'm, if I die right now talking to you, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. And do you think you needed all of the achievements that you've had to find that peace? Or did it somehow just get merged along the way that peace is really what you're searching for, not accomplishment?
You know what? Peace is what I was searching for, but I had to suffer. Mm-hmm. I had to know it wasn't about the accomplishments. I had to earn the right to be on this planet. And what that means, people are like, what the hell are you talking about? A lot of us think that we're just born and we live and then we die. No, it's not that easy. I truly believe that you have a path and a journey that you have to start, and starting the journey is very scary. And it's not about the accomplishments. It's about starting the journey and not getting off that path when it gets very scared. You know, when you get scared and suffering allowed me to be very proud and have peace in my life to know that I've endured. I didn't run. I endured.
That's really cool, because obviously you've done a lot of running. And then,
yes.
When you were doing those long distance running, were you running towards something or from something?
I think both. I think I was running from something to begin with. Mm-hmm. I was in search of myself. That's why, you know, I kept on going to these different military schools, and every military school was a hard one. Every military school was a kick in the ass. And I really wanted to kick myself in the ass to really figure out more and more about me. And I started running these long distance races to do the same thing. And I got to a point with even running in these long distance races where, you know, you find so much peace in yourself that it's just, you know, you come to the spot in your life where you want to be. And it becomes very, very clear. Once you get there, you know, you don't know when it's going to be. Some people are 60, some people are 70, some people it's never, because they never start their journey. But for me, it became very clear when I got there, what I was looking for. Mm.
Okay. And then where are you going next? Like, so you're so hungry to find, to do difficult things, to become hard, to find inner peace. Like, where do you go now?
So I found all of that. Mm-hmm. And, but you're always trying to get better. But now I believe honestly that we're all here for a purpose. And I believe that my purpose, which is why you can't run from it. If you believe in anything above you, whether it's God or whatever the hell you believe in, or you're just yourself, you can't run from your path, because why? Your path is leading you to a spot to help someone else.
So we're going to vibe on the same exact way there. Like that.
If I take a left because that path's easier, I'm fucking up the whole damn process of life. I'm supposed to go down this path right here in front of me, because this path's going to take me here, because now I can turn back around and help people along the path that I made. So basically what I'm doing now, my journey now is to go back and pick up all the people who are like, how? Asking that question, how? 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 And people think that you have to come from this great family with great knowledge and great money and great success in private schools to become someone successful. My journey is telling you something very different. You can come from nothing. And as long as you believe you have a breath of air and the will to succeed, you can do something. So that's what I'm doing now, is I'm trying to share this story with people and let them know that you don't need dick shit to be great.
God, no critique in this question, because I flat out love how you speak and where it comes from. Why do you use so many curse words?
You know what's funny? You'll never hear me say God's name in vain. Mm-hmm. There's something we need to talk about. I've become who I had to become, because, you know, I was a scared kid. I had to become dark. I had to go to a spot that most people will not understand, especially in this day and age. Like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? Wow, you need help, whatever. No, I don't. To succeed in a world that is so scary to you, to be able to jump from planes and go into houses where people are shooting at you, and to become that person when the real you is a scared little kid. You have to develop something inside of you. You have to develop Goggins. And Goggins became that motherfucker who looks at you and said, do you really want to fuck with me? Do you really want to know, you know, like, you want to test my resolve? Do you want to see my ability to go the distance where your world ends and mine begins? I had to create this mindset of talking to myself in a way to where false motivation becomes real motivation. I started to believe it. And once you believe it and you believe the darkness and you can go through the darkness and you can find the light and you can do all these things, half of my anger, half of my passion became, I find a lot of just the cuss words became just part of that angry, passionate guy. You know, it's just, don't take offense in it. It doesn't mean anything. I'd rather say fuck than, hey, can you please help me out? You know, because the mindset of you can go fuck yourself versus, hey, can we do this? It's all a mindset. So the cuss word for me was a mindset.
Yeah, it does. It conjures something up. And I don't know, when you say dark, for me, it doesn't conjure dark, but you're saying it's tapping down into a place that is, let me see if I can get it right for you, which is, hey, listen, get the fuck out of my way because you do not understand what you're messing with.
And that's it. And when I talk about darkness, it is darkness. Trust me.
Okay, but the words aren't dark, but they're touching.
They're touching
a dark place. Right. And is that dark place hostility? Is it violence? Is it rage? What is it?
It's not hostility at all. Mm-hmm. It's not rage. What it is when you're in, I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
You can either be peaceful. Some people get by and they find this great peace. And I'm there now, but I had to rage war on myself and rage war on a lot of things. So let's picture this. Picture yourself day 3, hour 75 of 130 hours, and you're in hell week. And your mind is thinking all this shit about, oh, God, I wish I was at home. I wish I had a warm shower. I wish I had a bed. I wish I had this. God, it's horrible. But you have another 70, you have another, 60-some hours of hell. So to defeat hell, in my mind, this is David Goggins talking. I don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks about. You handle it how you want to handle it. How I handle it, I had to become hell. To defeat hell, I had to become hell. And I believe in God, but when they put my fucking ass in that water and it fucking sucked and my mind went to these places of, I want to get out of here, I want to quit, I had to become this fucking guy who went to this dark spot that instead of saying I hate the water, I loved the fucking water. Let me stay in this motherfucker all fucking day. I don't want to get – so I had to change what people were thinking. I had to make water my home, the cold, the hell, how I felt, the shin splints, the stretch fractures. I had to love that feeling of pain. Yes, the human side of me wanted to quit and say, God, this hurts so bad. And I had to create a dark, evil person to get through the evil that I was enduring in my life. Period. Okay.
So what is the most optimal mindset that you would create as you're dropping into war? And is that similar to when you're about to do an XX miler, like a ultra, you know? And then I'd love a third mindset, which is when you're going to have an intimate conversation with someone that you care about. I'd love to kind of get some swath there.
Okay. Well, first of all, when you're dropping into combat, you have to really be, you have to become hell. But people understand one thing. You also have to be a very clear thinker. So you have to be a person that can think outside the box. You have to have great SA, which is situational awareness. But you also have to have the courage. And sometimes you have to go to a dark spot to be able to open that door. Because like when you're a SEAL, you're opening a bunch of doors. You're blowing up doors. And behind that door is the enemy that may have an AK-47 pointed at you. So to do what you have to do to go in that door, yes, it takes peace, it takes calm, it takes relaxation, it takes center focus, it takes drive, but it also takes going to war with someone. You have to be willing to go the distance, whatever the distance may be. You have to be willing to risk your life. You can't go in that door timid, because you have to go in that door thinking, if I die today, so fucking be it. But you're going to know you were in war with David Goggins. That's one mindset. When you're in a race, you have to start off 100 mile or whatever, very calm, very cool, very relaxed. because you don't want your heart rate to get too high. So you can't go to thinking, I'm dark, I'm crazy, I'm evil, I'm this and that. You want to be calm and cool and say, okay, it's a long day. I'm out here running. I want to be focused. I want to be very peaceful. I want to be very mindful. I want to start running and kind of ignore a lot of things. I want to ignore, like, I'm not even running. Like time in reference of time, I'm not even present right now. I don't start becoming present in the run until mile 70.
That's crazy. What are you doing the first 69 whatever miles?
Well, that's where you have to honestly, I have a way. If you really start to know yourself, there's so much about oneself that we never explore because we never go there. And I've been able to go there so many times. I'm able to go to so many different spots in my head and so many different situations because I realized how I thought in hell. So everything I've done in my life has been very painful, very trying to me because I didn't want to do it. So I figured out – so most people write books on mental toughness. No. They're bullshit. Most of them are bullshit because they didn't go through shit. So how the fuck do you know how to get through hard shit if you never wear hard shit? Because you don't know how your mind thought in hard shit. I know how the mind thinks when you're going through hell. So I figured out a bunch of ways to get through it. And one way you have to get through hard things, you have to learn how to set your mind in a spot to where you think you're not even running. I mean, you think, how the fuck do you do that? You do it off of knowing who you are as a person and how you can set your mind off into the distance, into a spot that is not even real to most people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you say it all the time, what you just said, but you tripped onto something said something that I want to respond to, which is if you haven't gone to a dark place and if you've ejected before it's gotten darker than you thought dark was or harder than you thought hard was, you never get to learn. You never get to learn. And it is, we call it mindset, but it really is about setting your mind. And that setting of one's mind is the control and the will that we've been given. And it's a disgrace to the human experience to let the world set your mind, to let others dictate your mind. And it's a complete disgrace. And so, you know.
But you also asked me about how I talked to someone that I'm.
Yes.
So there's tons of sides to me. So people who are listening to this understand I'm not just some garanimal at all. So I actually care and I love and I'm compassionate and I'm all these things that people say, oh my God, this guy, what's wrong with him? God has to put some people on this earth to protect this planet. I happen to be one of those people. So Merry Christmas. You have to have a different mentality to do that. But I also realize, you know, speaking to people that I love and people who need my help, I can't just say, take an SIU pill with a can of hard. With the SIU pill is a suck it up pill. You have to talk to people and you have to be able to be compassionate about what they're going through. And you have to know, I've been through a lot. And I know what people, I've been through almost every situation that a lot of people can go through. So I have compassion for what they're going through. But with that being said, since I've been through a lot, I'm going to give you compassion for a second, for a few seconds, for a few moments, for maybe a few days. But at the end of the fucking day, we're going to change that shit and we're going to overcome it. So that's how I do that. You know, I'm going to feel sorry for you for a little bit. Not feel sorry for you. I'm going to let you feel sorry for yourself because that's a natural process of life. But after that, we're going to figure out how we can destroy the evil beast, which is us.
You are clear in your approach. Okay, can we shift gears and do a couple 1 to 10s on those scales?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so 10 being the high on this. Okay, so your ability to switch on to meet whatever demands of the environment. 1 to 10, 10 being high.
10.
Your ability to switch off and recover, like at night to fall asleep.
5.
Your ability to manage all the internal noise that you go through.
10.
Okay, your ability to lock in when it's dangerous.
10.
Your ability to lock in when it's boring.
10.
When there's emotional risk at play?
Probably an 8.
Okay, 1 to 10, your fear of failure.
I have no fear of failure. Whatever scale that goes on is that I have no fear of failure because I fail so many damn times. I like it.
Okay.
It's good.
Okay, your fear of success.
I have no fear of that either. Whatever scale, yeah.
Okay, 1 to 10, the importance of music.
One, I don't care about it.
Spirituality.
If I can go higher than a 10, that would be, 100.
Okay, practicing spirituality.
100. And by practicing it, I would be clear. I do not go to church. I believe for me, it's every day of your life. How accountable are you as a human being? That's what, I hold myself very accountable, and I hold myself accountable to God.
Okay.
So that's
And when you think of God, is it Judaism? Is it Christianity? And I don't care if you're religious or not, but like, is there a particular group, a Hindu, like what, is there a particular group that you connect with more?
No, I don't connect to any group. I was born and raised a Catholic. I don't do that anymore. I don't practice that anymore.
Okay.
My God is my God.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay. 1 to 10, the importance of science.
The science of science or science of the brain,
just science in general, whichever one.
I would say 7.
Okay, so breaking rules, 1 to 10. Are you a rule breaker or a rule follower?
Rule follower.
Okay. Being self-critical, 10 is like I'm really critical of myself.
10, you have to be critical of yourself to succeed and be better.
1 to 10, the habit of getting great sleep.
It should be a 10, but for me, all the things I've gone through my life and becoming great, there's a great sacrifice to your body. And it really does something to your adrenals, which is a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that now that I found peace. So it's getting better. I'm around a 6 or 7 with that.
And then caffeine, 1 to 10.
I don't do it at all. I don't do caffeine at all.
Did you ever do drugs?
Never. No. I never smoked, never did drugs, none of that stuff.
Okay. And then mindfulness training. Some people call it meditation. 1 to 10. Could be anywhere in between.
As the highest number you can go, higher than 10. Mm-hmm. I believe in that. Huge, huge.
Yeah. And then what does that training or practice look like? Is it, do you do breathing meditations? Do you do, movement meditations? Like, what is your thing?
You know what? My thing is very different than most. I do a lot of stretching. I stretch out a lot. But my meditation is basically just internal conversations with myself.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Is the world dangerous or safe?
It's very dangerous right now because we fall doom to not being our best because of a lot of following idiots and falling doom to whether you're black or you're white or you fall into this group or that group, and we just fall into bullshit. Like we get off on all this stuff that, yeah, it matters, but it doesn't matter as much. We spend too much time on bullshit, like just on nothing that's relevant to you becoming better. If everybody worked on being better, the world would not be dangerous. It's dangerous because people are worried about stupid shit.
Got it. I love the way you think about things. Are you street savvy or more analytical?
I'm very street savvy, and I become analytical as time gone by. So,
do you learn better in a slow-paced environment or a fast-paced environment?
Both. I used to learn better in a slow-paced environment because, I was ADD and all sorts of shit, but I didn't like being ADD. So I believe a lot of times you're ADD because you just – that's just what you accept. So I wanted to learn to be more fast paced. So I actually can learn both and, good at both of them.
Okay. Where are you on the need of control? Low, medium, high?
When I was younger, it was very high on need of control. Now I could give a shit. Mm-hmm. If you're in my life, I want to protect you. Some people take it as control. I know a lot about the world and what's going on out there. And I know, so yeah, but I don't give a shit really.
Mm-hmm. And then optimistic or pessimistic about like the future?
I would say optimistic.
Okay. And then do you do what you feel is right or do you do what you think is right?
I do what I know is right.
And then where does pressure come from?
It always comes from yourself. I mean, for myself, it always came from me. Like nobody pressures me for shit because once you develop who you are as a person, everybody else can go to hell. Mm.
And then, how do you think about success?
Success is what you think success is for yourself. So success, like for some people, is being a millionaire. For some people, it's graduating Navy SEAL training. For some people, it's having their own podcast. So it's all in what you want in your life. That success for me, it was I wanted to find peace. I wanted to find David Goggins. I wanted to see who I was, and that's success for me.
And then kind of the last question, right, in this little thing here is like, how do you finish this thought? I am
David Goggins.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so I think you said it earlier, like your definition or how you think about mastery. And can you just take one more quick riff on that?
Well, how I look at mastery is I believe in God, like I always say. I believe in God, and I believe that God put us all down here, and we're all artists. And some people think an artist is a person that paints a picture. Yeah, that is an artist. But I believe an artist, in what I'm trying to say, is an artist is a person that you're painting your life. And you're trying to paint your, once again, your greatest masterpiece. It's not mine. It's not anybody else's. It's yours. Whatever that may be in your brain. And you have to sit back and see what it is. And you have to start painting that masterpiece, and you have to paint it to the best of your ability. And you have to go through a lot of brushes and a lot of canvas and a lot of shit. But once you start to paint that masterpiece and you're on track, you'll know it. But you just got to continue to paint it, man. You're your own master. And that journey is fucking hard. It is fucking hard. It sucks. Period, dot. And anybody wants to hear that and say, oh, God, this guy, be peaceful. Yeah, I'm peaceful. I love myself. I'm happy. All that stuff. Because everybody asks me all the time. I'm all that. But damn it, the fucking journey sucks if you want to be great. Period.
David Goggins, what a gift. And your authenticity, your willingness to do the difficult and to go the distance is a gift. And so your honesty and everything that you've just captured, the man that you've become, I've loved this conversation. So I want to thank you. And then I want to find out where people can find out more about how to get you connected to bring you into their organization or wherever that they can benefit from being around you a bit more. So how can we be more connected to you?
So all those social media sites that Jennifer sent, you know what's so funny? This is how crazy I am. I don't even know if it's David Goggins, if it's at David Goggins, I am David Goggins. So what did she send you? Because that's what it is. Because I don't even care.
Yeah, we'll take care of all. We'll put it all in the show notes, and we'll sort all that out for you for sure. And then like, I know you're doing a lot of keynote speaking. Is that the best way to reach you for a keynote, or is it website, or what's the best way to reach you?
You know, I think website, and also getting a hold of Jennifer Kish, know, at basically it's Jennifer, and that's, you know, JenNNIFER, Jennifer at DavidGoggins, .com. So if you reach out to there, you can book me, stuff like that. And you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter. It's just, David Goggins, at David Goggins, I believe it is. And I think my Facebook is actually I am David Goggins. I'm not for sure exactly, but, you can figure that out.
Oh, yeah. We'll take care of you on that part. So thank you. I don't know what else to say. So thank you.
Thank you enough. I appreciate it. You have a good day.
All the best. Bye now.
Bye, man. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much for diving into another episode of Finding Mastery with us. Our team loves creating this podcast and sharing these conversations with you. We really appreciate you being part of this community. And if you're enjoying the show, the easiest no-cost way to support is to hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. Also, if you haven't already, please consider dropping us a review on Apple or Spotify. We are incredibly grateful for the support and feedback. If you're looking for even more insights, we have a newsletter we send out every Wednesday. Punch over to findingmastery.com/newsletter to sign up. This show wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, and we take our recommendations seriously. And the team is very thoughtful about making sure we love and endorse every product you hear on the show. If you want to check out any of our sponsor offers you heard about in this episode, you can find those deals at findingmastery.com/sponsors. And remember, no one does it alone. The door here at Finding Mastery is always open to those looking to explore the edges and the reaches of their potential so that they can help others do the same. So join our community, share your favorite episode with a friend, and let us know how we can continue to show up for you. Lastly, as a quick reminder, information in this podcast and from any material on the Finding Mastery website and social channels is for information purposes only. If you're looking for meaningful support, which we all need, one of the best things you can do is to talk to a licensed professional. So seek assistance from your healthcare providers. Again, a sincere thank you for listening. Until next episode, be well, think well, and keep exploring.